Last week we celebrated Pentecost. We said that Pentecost is the unofficial, but official birthday of the church. We said that Jesus was the greatest gift to the world, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is the greatest gift to all who believe the church, the body of Christ. And we said that God equips us, you and I, with gifts in the same manner to build the church. And if you remember last Sunday, we wrote some of those gifts on index cards. Now I said everyone to write their name, and I saw a couple didn't have a name on it. But I'm just going to thank you based on that. But the idea is that God gives us gifts to build up the body of Christ, not only under the steeple, but outside as well. And the results of the cards and the gifts were very interesting, and I will explain that. How interesting, why they're interesting in a couple of minutes. Just give me about 4 minutes and I'll get there. But the reality is today, you leave with nothing, leave with the notion that you cannot build a church without the united gifts of the people. What do I mean by that? In Paul's text for today, the Corinthian church is a church coming of age. It's divided, it's unsteady, it's learning, and it's growing in earnest. How to be church together. Now you can go to church, you can be in church, your body can be the church, but the question is how do we do church together? When you come with different people from different backgrounds, different genders, different socioeconomic status, and you put all of those people together, how do you be church together? Now, when I was young, about 12 years ago, I met a beautiful woman, and that beautiful woman I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. So how does a young-ish man from Brooklyn, low income, no dad, bad stuff, interact with this wonderful, beautiful woman who comes from another country, who has a different family structure, a different life altogether? Many of you, some of you may have the challenge, and understand the challenge of being able to marry and bring different backgrounds and different people together. It's not easy. And that's usually surrounded by love. So how do you do the same thing in the church? People ask me all the time, they say, how does the church work for you? And I say, well, I am from the North. I don't understand a lot of Southern colloquialisms, but my church family loves me, and I love them. And people say, what's the secret? And the secret is that we know how to be church together. What do I mean by that? Let's talk about what church is not together. The Corinthian church has difficulty because some of them are unhappy with the gifts that God has given. There are some people who want to be in the front and center. They want to be up. They want the spotlight. And they don't like the tasks, the menial tasks of putting the church together or making the meals or finding people because they want to be up front. We don't have that problem in 2023 because no one wants to be up front anymore. And trust me, we don't want the job. But the reality is what Paul is saying is that we have to understand that God gives us all of these gifts for a reason. And the beauty is that there's no gift that is more important than the other. I said it all the time, I may stand here, yes, but I'm not more important than the person who cooks for the harvest meal. I'm not more important than the person who opens the door in the morning. I'm not more important than Kim or Jimmy. We are all in this together. And not only are we in it together, but we work together systematically as a team. And that is why Paul chooses the body. Now, if you are getting up there like I am, you wake up in the morning and your back may hurt. Or your knee may hurt. Or your neck may hurt. Some of us are laughing in the front, they're like, Richard, everything hurts. And that may be true, and that may be coming for all of us. But the reality is, if you can go back to a time when you were in your prime, and you didn't need a warm-up, you didn't need to exercise, you didn't need to stretch, you could just go for miles. Remember those days? Some of us are even coming to those days. God bless you. The reality is the body works perfectly for a time. And if you want to run fast, yes, you need your ankles, you need your feet, you need your knees, you need your hips, you need your arms, you need your back, you need every single part to accomplish the task that you need to. So imagine one day you wanted to run and you didn't take care of your knees. Say, oh, I'll just go without my knees. It's pretty hard to run without your knees, right? Or to say, hey, I just want to be able to solve this big, difficult equation without thinking. It's impossible. So the understanding Paul is trying to say is every single piece has to work together in harmony. The problem is, I like that body metaphor, but I like a different metaphor. I'm going to subscribe to a different metaphor for you today if you want to go with me. When I go to Kim's house to practice, if you've ever been to Kim's house, you go in and to the left, there's her dining room. And usually in her dining room, there is a jigsaw puzzle of about 1,000 pieces. Jimmy's mom, Mrs. Peoples, loves to do puzzles. And every time I go over there, she says, hey, Richard, look at this puzzle. And I just get a brain overload because I see 1,000 pieces really small and I can't even think about doing it because it's impossible. And I say, Mrs. Peoples, why do you do it? And she says, because I like the way it looks in the end. If you ever put a jigsaw puzzle together, it's beautiful. And I'll go further and use a different word. It's perfect. But imagine if there's a piece missing here. If there's a piece missing there. If half of the corner isn't done. It's not perfect. In fact, it's incomplete. And the reality is, too many systems of life, family, church, work, are simply incomplete. There are things missing. And because those things are missing, they don't operate the way they need to operate. But the reality is humanity is just really, really good at overcompensating, aren't we? Oh, well, I don't got that. We'll just keep moving. Oh, I'm better. Whatever. I'll just keep moving. I'm going to go to the doctor? No, I'm sorry. I'll keep working. There's a psychological problem in this family. There's a generational problem in this family. I'm not going to talk about it. We're just going to keep going. But to be incomplete is to be half alive. And to be half alive is not living in the true purpose of who God has called us to be. But for me, the metaphor of the jigsaw puzzle works the best. Why? Because everyone has smooth edges, like a jigsaw puzzle, and everyone has rough edges, like a jigsaw puzzle. If you ever hold one, there's protrusions, right? And then there's a hole, usually, especially in those middle pieces. And those protrusions represent extra, more, than normally what you have. And those protrusions are the gifts. So if you say, I'm really good at serving, that's that extra protrusion. Go with me on this. If I'm really good at administration, that's that extra protrusion that gives shape, right? Or I'm really good at pastoral, I'm really good at calling people, Richard, and loving on people. That's that protrusion, right? But then there's the hole. And the hole is where we can be better. Right? The hole is, my faith isn't what it is, what it should be, all the time. Or, you know what, I'm really not a people person, so I really don't want to talk to people. Well, that protrusion, that hole is, you know, I really don't want to do much at church. I just want to come and leave. Right? So you got protrusions and you got holes. But the beauty is, all of us have protrusions and holes, which means we all have shortcomings. And we all have a dish that is special. And what happens when you find that right piece? Everything comes together. So what I may be lacking, what my hole may be, That may be your presumption. That may be what you're good at. And what I have may be what you lack. But you know what? Together, it fits perfectly. That's why we can't do it alone. So when we come to church, when we look in our families and we think or we see or feel that something is missing, it's usually because someone isn't there or someone isn't giving all that they can give. And we have to do the work of completion. It sounds crazy, but somewhere 30 years ago, I'm in New York City. I'm in Brooklyn, Roses and Queens. Never heard of you. You in the Bronx 30 years ago? Brooklyn. But 30 years later, here we are, here, together, working. And my gifts are here, but my shortcomings are here also. But where I fall short, somebody here begins. And it's the same thing in a family. I'm not calm all the time. I'm not calm all the time. And sometimes I need my wife to calm me down. And sometimes she's not calm. And I need to calm her down. The church is supposed to be a family. When we talk about complimenting one another, when we talk about couples who help each other and fill each other's gaps, the church is the same way. So as we talk about building this church, we talk about living here, and we're going to talk about that more in 2 weeks. The gifts that you wrote, that you bring to the table, I put them all on the list. And what's amazing is we have that same even number of people across 7 different missions. It blew my mind. Which means that God has given you something special here. Something special, special work, a special gift to use to build this place to what we want it to be. But you know what? When you don't have that gift, somebody has it. So the job and the chore for us, not only is to celebrate the uniqueness of our gifts, but to understand the diversity of our gifts. Willis brings something to the table. But if you don't know who Willis is, how do you know what he brings? How are you going to set the table for him to bring something? Sorry, put you out there, Willis. I know you don't like that. But Willis is back there. Give my attention. That's okay. The understanding is God has put us all in this place. There's no accidents and no coincidences, and I'm almost done. There's no coincidence. So when you think, oh, why did I marry that person? God had a reason for it. Why am I friends with that person? God had a reason for it. Why did I see this sign and stop and come in here? Why am I still here? God had a reason for it. And if we are not operating in those gifts, and we are incomplete. And let me tell you, finally, what being incomplete does. If you know my story, I've had a story for 2 months. I live being incomplete every single day. Half of my existence is unknown to me and will never be known to me. And the feeling of being incomplete makes me feel sometimes that I almost had no purpose. Where do I come from? What illnesses am I gonna have? You know, why do my kids all look different? Because maybe one of them looks like somebody from my father, so I have no clue. And I feel that I live life at a disadvantage. But the beauty of it is, whatever holes exist, I know that there's somebody here. Somebody in my family now, somebody in this church, there's somebody in my friendship circle that fills in that hole. Because Christ fills in all the holes that we have. And that is a hole that's missing. It's missing from us. But Christ fills that hole in with love and with protection. There's no reason for us to live incomplete lives. There's no reason for us to not know and celebrate the beauty of each other because we all fit together. So my prayer is that you think about the spaces in your life, the rough areas, the smooth areas, the places where you need somebody to connect with you, the places where you can offer connection to somebody else. Because completion is what God has called us to be here. So my prayer is that, we're moving off spiritual gifts because we're moving someplace different. But I want you to look at the people around you today, tomorrow. Maybe as you go to camp, one of those young people needs you. And who you are fits with that. It's only for 5 days. That's who God is, the interweaving of life. So my prayer is that you think about where you can be used, where you fit, and who fits with you. Because the beauty of finding all of that is the perfection of a completed puzzle. Let us pray. Lord, we want the fullness of life. We want the fullness of what we have for us. We don't want less than anymore. We don't want half alive anymore. We don't want incomplete. We want to be good. We want to have completion in our lives. We want those rough edges to be smooth. And we want the holes in our lives to be filled so we can be our best selves. Lord, this church endeavors and desires to be the best that it can be. And Lord, you have blessed us mightily. But now we stand here saying that we want to go deeper. We want more, not just in numbers, not just in money, but in power. We want people to leave this place with an encounter with the risen Christ. And we want to leave this place weakly, feeling like we can overcome any obstacles. So be with us, God. Help us to know that we are meant, and not only for ourselves, but we are a part of a greater apparatus. Use us for each other. The phone calls, the text messages, the hugs, crying with one another. The text messages to those who are in the hospital bed right now, those are the ways we build connection. Lord, we don't want to be incomplete anymore. We want to be full and experience the fullness of you in the land of the living. So bless us one more time so that we can do everything you call us to do and be everything you call us to be. Bless this church in power, in authority, in presence, so that one day our children's children will walk out of this people the same way we did it. Bless just the same. This is our prayer, God. We know that every prayer is heard. Every prayer is answered. So bless us in the midst of our prayer, God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.